Amazon has proved that it's not just a delivery service by jumping into the game engine business. Plus, a pioneering game media site has gone off the air for good. Tonight is February 14th, 2016, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments. It's up next. So you would say even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bobby? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
The world is going to end on February 14th in the year 2016. Valentine's Day. Bummer. Welcome to a not bummer, but a Valentine's Day edition. Happy Valentine's Day to all of you of the Bobby Blackwell Show. Where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwolf. You're joining us here on this the bummer Valentine's Day of the movie from that movie. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room. We're at the Voice of Geeks Network, live.vognetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. I need to talk slower because now I'm putting words together that shouldn't go together. Also, if you are logged in, you can check in and get some points, just like Obi-Wan Jabroni and Immortal King. They were two people that checked in some point during the intro of the show. Thank you guys for coming in and everything. And SSJ 100 Matt does bring up 4 days until MAGFest. I'm going to have more on MAGFest just a little bit. One thing I do want to say is that for our live listeners, coming up immediately after this show and before Orange Lounge Radio, we have a big announcement, huge announcement for VOG. We're announcing 3 new shows, and we're going to make that announcement right at the end of this program, so 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Rob is actually going to be leading the call, so it's not going to be on this podcast feed. I don't know if Rob's going to put it on the OLR feed. We'll figure that out. I'm not going to be recording it locally or anything like that. Yeah, 3 new shows are coming to the network. And also, I did want to say I kind of know what things are like when servers go down unexpectedly. I was a system administrator for many years. Thankfully, got a new job where I'm not a system administrator anymore and don't have to worry about this. But I was a system administrator for many years and actually have had catastrophic failures that took the entire service offline to our paying customers for many years. So I know several days sometimes. And I know exactly what that's like. And I know what they're going through. So to everybody over at Stitcher, which is a podcast app, that we have a lot of our content on and is actually what I use when I'm in the car driving and listening to podcasts. They've been offline for several days. And they have been trying to get everything back up. They're a very small team. And it was a catastrophic failure. We don't know exactly what it was, much love to all the hardworking people that took their Valentine's Day weekend and have been trying to bring the service back up for several days now. I don't think it's even back up now. I know it's been down since I think like Thursday or Friday, and I tried it like an hour ago, and it's still down, and they're still working on it. There was some catastrophic failure that just totally decimated the entire service. So you can say what you want about planning, but you can never really plan for a truly catastrophic failure. And I even planned as much as I could, and we still had a catastrophic failure one time when I was at my last job. So, and it was, Sky even says, it wasn't updating shows either early this week. And Kaijudo says, the problem is they sold it off to some hacks. And Kaijudo says, Stitcher's been broken for 2.5 years. Well, it may have been broken, but at least it was operational in its breakingness, where it's not even operational right now. And so even if you think that they're hacks, I still send my loves to them because I know what it's like. And there are sometimes just some things you cannot prepare for, and it's impossible to prepare for. So going back to some happy stuff, 4 days until MAGFest. And I'm actually getting very excited about this. MAGFest is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Music and Games Festival. And I am, I can safely announce, I actually put a picture up of something that we're going to be trying at MAGFest this year. And that's, I put up a picture of a microphone that actually had a Vogue mic flag on it. And why would you put a mic flag on something if you're just going to do audio recordings? So, youtube.com/VogueNetwork. Right now we've got a bunch of stuff from GamerX2 up there. But we are hoping, very much hoping, to actually have some MAGFest content up there. I'm not going to say that we're going to put anything up during MAGFest, although that is an option, but it all depends on what we're doing. I mean, we're not there to cover it. We're not there as press, but there are a lot of indie games that are there that would probably love some promotion and some interviews and stuff. So we're going to try it. We're going to try doing some video, and hopefully, hopefully we can actually do this well. And do some video and actually be able to do this more often and stuff. So we've gotten some new equipment, or I've gotten some new equipment, basically, to facilitate doing some different types of content for you guys. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, if I do get a good interview and it's a video interview, guess what? It's really easy to rip the audio out of the interview and still put it in the podcast. So this is not taking any content away that would probably be on a podcast. It's just expanding where that content can be. So hopefully we can do it. If it sucks, I probably won't put anything up, and I'll tell you. But I don't want to put crap up on our YouTube channel. I'm not a fan of that. But another thing that I will be doing is, if you want to follow along, I'm actually driving up there, and thankfully it's going to snow Monday, and then it's going to be like 50 degrees on Tuesday, Fahrenheit. Which, because that 50 degrees Celsius would just, like, you know, destroy the earth, I think. I don't know. But it's going to be like 50 degrees Fahrenheit. So Tuesday, it's all going to melt. So I'm not worried about my drive up on Wednesday. I'm going to actually be live tweeting the drive. And you may think, why would you do that? I mean, road trips like that are kind of boring. I am going to be live tweeting the drive because it's going to be kind of a neat experiment. As well, and I'm actually going to be stopping. I can tell you exactly in the cities I'm going to be stopping, and if you can figure out why I'm stopping in those very specific cities, then you kind of understand maybe why I'd be doing the hashtag Road to MAGFest, not Rogue to MADFest. That would be weird. Hashtag Road to MAGFest. I'll be stopping in Greenville, South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, Burlington, North Carolina, South Hill, Virginia, and Glen Allen, Virginia. There is something that ties all those cities together, and that's why I'm going to have to stop there. And that will be on Wednesday, the 17th, hopefully being arriving at the Gaylord Hotel that evening, so I can be there Thursday for friend of the show, Professor Shy Guy. He's on this chiptune stage at 2 o'clock on Thursday, like before the opening ceremonies. So you can follow along my Road to MAGFest hashtag on Twitter on Wednesday. SSJ100 Matt says, the secret is that Bobby is tracking those Clicky the Pens whereabouts. That's right. That's where I've heard that Clicky the Pen, the former mascot of the show, chased away by some ferret. That's the route he went, so I'm going to go try to find him. Old joke is old. I forgot about Clicky. So there is some little bit of news to talk about this week, and the first one is more for game developers and stuff. And it's something that I saw that was interesting is that Amazon, in their quest for world domination, you know, it started as an online store, and then they got into other online things like hosting, you know, being a web service, because they built out this great web service. Content delivery service and cloud web service for Amazon. And they're like, we could sell this to other people. And that's what they did. And that's what AWS is. And now they've like, you know, oh, we're going to make, you know, an Amazon gaming console. And so they decided to make their own engine. And now they're giving out that engine. And they want people to start using that engine. Gamma Sutra reports that Amazon has both announced and released a new free game engine, Lumberyard, which offers deep integration with its Amazon Web Services server infrastructure to empower online play, and also with Twitch, its video game-focused streaming service. The engine, including its full source code, is a completely free to download and use to make PC and console games. Amazon will not charge any kind of royalty or subscription fee. So basically, the two big indie game engines that a lot of people use are Unity and Unreal Engine. And Unity is free, but you don't have the full source code. So you have to kind of keep everything inside of the Unity playbook. Which is very extensive. Like, there's a lot you can do in Unity, but a lot of people are like, well, you know, you can use Unity for rapid prototyping in small games, but you wouldn't want to make a AAA title using Unity. But then you've got Unreal Engine that does release its source code, and it is something that AAA developers use, but they take a royalty fee. Unity does have a subscription fee as well for some of the higher-end features. So this Lumberyard is going to have the full source code, be ready for AAA development, and not take any kind of royalty or subscription fee. It's like the best of all worlds. Lumberyard is powerful and full-featured enough to develop AAA current-gen console games, and the company has signed official tools deals with Microsoft and Sony, so you can immediately build games for the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 with it. Mobile version support is coming down the road. The monetization for Lumberyard will come strictly through the use of Amazon Web Services cloud computing. If you use the engine for your game, you're permitted to roll your own server tech, but if you're using a third-party provider, it has to be Amazon. Integration of Amazon Twitch streaming tools at a low level also helps to cement the platform's dominance in the game streaming space. This is the part that's kind of neat. So alongside Lumberyard, actually it goes into the Twitch later, the company has almost also announced and released GameLift, a new managed service for deploying, operating, and scaling server-based online games using the Amazon Web Services. GameLift will be only available to developers who use Lumberyard, even though it's an optional add-on. GameLift will cost $1.50 per 1,000 daily active users, and AWS services will be charged at their normal rate. So it's going to be easier for people to create multiplayer games, because for the longest time, you know, you had to negotiate with some server farm or whatever and, you know, create all the multiplayer infrastructure and all that stuff. And now you can make multiplayer games without a lot of the heavy lifting. Amazon does a lot of the heavy lifting for you. The game engine is in beta, but is freely usable and downloadable today. The core technology of the engine is actually based on Crytek's CryEngine, which is not Unreal Engine or Unity because it's very expensive. Amazon licensed the German studio's engine and got full unencumbered access to the technology to build upon, according to Mike Frazzini, who is the vice president of Amazon Games. However, Lumberyard represents a branch of the tech, and the company is replacing or upgrading many of CryEngine's systems. Future versions of CryEngine and Lumberyard will continue to diverge. At the public beta launch, Lumberyard already has components that are not based on CryEngine, aside from adding the software development kit for Amazon Web Services to the engine, allowing for native C++ access to the services. Amazon has also brought in new low-latency networking code based on what Double Helix, the studio it acquired in 2014, who developed Killer Instinct for the Xbox One. So the engine already has an entirely new asset pipeline and processor. A lot of that's more for creating big AAA titles and how you actually work in the engine, as well as the new Double Helix networking code. Up next is a new component system and particle editor to make things prettier, and a number of other things we aren't quite ready to talk about yet. There's also Cloud Canvas, which allows developers to set up server-based in-game events in AWS using visual scripting. So it basically means you don't need a programmer for a lot of things. You can now actually have the designer actually create a lot of that for you. And it's a big kind of thing this new thing of, like, it's called clicks, not code, where people can go in and actually click and make things happen rather than hiring a programmer to develop it. That way you have your programmers doing more complicated things than standard scripting type of things. The Twitch integration means that the Twitch Plays style chat commands are supported at an engine level. So obviously we think of, and they're calling it chat play. For this, which is, you know, kind of like the Twitch Plays Pokemon is a little bit of it, but also you saw those PS4 games where people could type things into Twitch if you were streaming on PlayStation 4, and it would affect the in-game sounds, like some horror games do it, where somebody could type, you know, I guess bump, and then like a bump would happen in the night, you know, a bump sound and, you know, startling people. There's also Join In, which allows players to leap directly into online games alongside Twitch broadcasters as they stream. The goal is to create experiences that embrace the notion of a player, broadcaster, and viewer all joining together. Frazzini says, quote, it'll be some uncharted waters for sure, and there will be a lot of experimentation, unquote. The work is worth it, he argues, since we see so much more of the vibrant virality and retention when a game has those hooks. So basically, they're trying to make games made for Twitch, and they're trying to provide the tools to make a game that can be streamed very easily, and people in the Twitch chat can participate in playing the game as well as the broadcaster. The company is hoping that Lumberyard will appeal to developers who make games that thrive on broadcasting online and esports scenes and user-generated content. The engine is very mod-friendly, meaning that developers can package up Lumberyard's level and item creation tools as a subset tool chain and distribute them with their game for players to use. The latest Amazon internal version also supports the Oculus SDK for virtual reality, but the beta version today does not, because the Oculus SDK is not complete yet, so that's why they're not publishing it out. And also, they are eating their own dog food, pretty much. Improvements could come quickly, because the company is using the engine to develop all of its internally created projects. So they are using this engine now, and so when they need to fix something, they fix it, and then everybody benefits. And Kaijudo says the thing about the Twitch Play, the PS4 does that already. What this is doing, the reason that this is a big thing, is that this is completely integrated into the game engine, whereas there are PS4 games that did it where they actually had to create that technology and, you know, work with, you know, make a bot that read Twitch and all that stuff, and handled that on a game-by-game basis. It wasn't actually, it wasn't a switch you could just turn on when you're developing the game. You actually had to develop that functionality. This actually gives them the functionality out of the box, so they could spend more time actually figuring out what they're going to do with that technology rather than just creating the technology. So it's going to open up doors for developers to do things and try things without having to actually create the underlying boring part of the interface. And it's essentially, it's making it easier for people to just jump in and make a multiplayer game with the GameLift service. It's making it easier for people to just jump in and create Twitch integrations. They can actually create the interaction rather than creating the integration and then the interaction, because if you get in the weeds trying to create that integration, then you're not going to care. And you're going to be like, it's not worth it. I'm not going to try it. I'm not even going to try to do anything with the Twitch chat and stuff like that. So it's another tool that is available for indie developers. So where that, what that means for those of you who are not developers is that in the next year, you might start seeing games that do have a heavier emphasis on Twitch, or games that have more of a multiplayer component. A lot of the indie games right now that you see, not many of them have, a lot of them do, but not many of them have a true multiplayer component, because multiplayer is hard. And it's there's some infrastructure there that's hard to get into. And Amazon's saying, hey, we can do that for you at a fraction of the cost and time that it would cost you to integrate someone else's thing. Kaijudo asks, how easy is it to make a direct connect game and LAN? That's not as difficult. Because I know I've looked into doing that with like the Unity game engine and stuff like that. So that's stuff like that's already kind of in place. What it is I think people just choose not to do it. That's why you don't see that many LAN and Direct Connect games anymore, because unfortunately there's not that many people that want to play those, or they're not vocal enough. Let me put it to you a different way. There's enough people that are not vocal enough about absolutely wanting to play those, so they feel that it's not worth it. I mean, remember, couch multiplayer was almost forgotten by the entire industry except for Nintendo. you know, split screen multiplayer on consoles was almost a, you know, the only place you could do that was on the Wii, because PlayStation and Xbox games were like, no, we want you to go online. Oh, you want to play that game with your buddy that's sitting next to you? Oh, well, you need to tell him to go home and get on his console, and then you can play with him online. And, I mean, you know, doing Direct Connect and LAN, or at least LAN games are much easier because you don't have to worry about the latency as much. So you don't actually have to do as much, you know, guesswork in terms of what the other players are doing when you're on a LAN, unlike online. So the other piece of news that I wanted to talk about today is about the gaming media, and it's about a gaming media site going away. 13 years ago, a site was started, 2002, predates my podcasting career. It's Game Trailers, and they closed down very suddenly on the 8th. They actually posted on their Facebook when Game Trailers was founded in 2002, internet video was a revolutionary concept. YouTube wouldn't be founded for another 3 years. Consumer live streaming was 9 years away. Back then, online game journalism was still dominated by text articles and static imagery. We didn't even have podcasts in 2002. The most prestigious coverage still happened in print. If you wanted to watch a show about video games, you had to watch it on a special TV station that had 10 shows. He's talking about G4, by the way. And Game Trailers helped change all that. Today, game journalism is dominated by video, trailers, live gameplay, Let's Plays, and news shows. Now there are millions of hours of content available at any time on your PC, your game console, your TV, and your phone. We're proud of what we helped bring this world into being. That is the legacy of Game Trailers. We're grateful to all our fans who helped to make us so successful. Thank you for your continued support over the years. It has been an adventure. It's worth noting that Defy Media purchased Game Trailers back in 2014 from Viacom, because Game Trailers was MTV Game Trailers. And almost immediately, the company imposed layoffs, with more taking place the next year. Or more taking place last year, and then today, or this week, they laid off everybody, shutting it down. It's gone. Defy Media is also the publisher of The Escapist, among other online destinations. And that's the thing that, you know, you got to realize is that, you know, doing video back then, you had to have a lot of money to have the server infrastructure to do video. Scott Rubin, you know, this show came from All Games. The All Games Network back in the 90s was doing video. And that was, they had to be a big .com to be able to do that. That was pseudo networks, just to be able to have the bandwidth to do that. And, you know, when G4 came around, you know, I remember I actually did some videos with G4, and I had to basically host the AVI file on a website and people downloaded it. There was no YouTube to post it to. So if you wanted video, it was either you watched G4 on your TV or you went to GameTrailers.tv. And you watched the trailers over there. And, you know, now you don't need Game Trailers as much. They were just yet another site, because now every site's doing their own video reviews and showing trailers. And, you know, you just go to the publisher's YouTube page and the trailer's right there. And that's the exact same trailer that Game Trailers would be showing. So you're just watching it with the Game Trailers watermark over it instead of the actual trailer. So and you could upload your own video up there. And people could comment. It was a community, and unfortunately, it kind of just became like everybody else, and it pioneered a lot of things. But I guess, unfortunately, it was time for it to go, and it kind of sucks that the writing's been on the wall for a couple years. A lot of great people lost their jobs, though, and they did really wonderful work even up until the very end. So I hope they land on their feet somewhere, doing what they love to do, be it in games, be it out of games. In journalism, out of journalism, there's a lot of opportunity out there for them. Dungeon Buster says, one of the employees tweeted that they found out about the closure that day it was announced, zero warning. Yes, there was no. They were all still in shock. And Tiger Claw says, Game Trailers was the set where I discovered Screw Attack and the Angry Video Game Nerd videos. Yeah, they helped launch a lot of YouTube, like some of the very first what we would call YouTube celebrities came from Game Trailers, or Game Trailers featured them. And they became more famous from that, even if they did leave Game Trailers eventually. You know, obviously now it's dominated by the PewDiePies of the world. But back then, you know, Angry Video Game Nerd was kind of one of your original gaming YouTube celebrities. And it was because of, a lot of it was because of the exposure he got from game trailers. And ActDef says, you know, the problem is game trailers didn't evolve all that much. They didn't do anything different. Everybody else evolved to do what game trailers was doing, and then game trailers was doing the same thing. And so it was just yet another site, and people were going to other places to consume that content. Escapist is also kind of going down kind of the same path. I mean, other than Yahtzee still doing zero punctuation, it's a shell of what it was, too, and it's owned by Defy Media. So kind of sad to see him go, but you need to evolve. And, you know, we know that VOG needs to evolve, too. By the way, we're adding three new shows tonight. Dungeon Buster says, a few years ago at E3, someone screwed up the database for badges at a Ubisoft conference. So for 2 hours, my badge identified me as part of Game Trailers. Congratulations, Dungeon Buster. You have been laid off by Defy Media today, or on the 8th. ActDev says, YouTube and Twitch are kings in the gaming videos world, but it does have a legacy, Game Trailers does. And they were pioneers in what they did. YouTube and Twitch probably came about thanks to the beginnings of what Game Trailers did. So thank you to everybody who did ever work at Game Trailers, creating content, changing the industry back in 2002, even if you wound up not changing as much in 2015. And True says, I visit Game Trailers pretty often. The only gaming sites I visit are VOG, Game Trailers, and IGN. Well, you'll have to find somewhere else to go on that second one. But thank you for coming here. Dungeon Buster says, I stopped visiting Game Trailers a while ago, but they paved the way for doing a lot of the things that YouTube gaming stars do now on a regular basis. And they just became another one of the crowd. And when you have that, when people have spent that much money on you because you were pioneers in the beginning, and then you wind up just doing what everybody else is doing, unfortunately, the people with the money decide they're not going to fund it anymore. And that's what happened here. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we're going to take your calls about anything going on in the gaming industry. There was other news, but these are the two things I wanted to kind of focus on. We'll take some calls and then get into announcing three new shows at the end of the show, which means the show's going to end as much on time as we can. So stay tuned for that. Quick music break. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
When I'm not putting a hit on the drongos, I'm listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show. He's a right cobber, mate.
John Patrick Lowry is the voice of the sniper in Team Fortress 2. And by the way, he's also going to be at MAGFest along with his wife, Ellen McLean, voice of GLaDOS. Also, Bear McCreary, who I know more from his TV work, like Battlestar Galactica. He did the music of Battlestar Galactica. Austin Winter is going to be there. He's the composer of Journey, the Grammy-nominated show game Journey. They're doing Journey live, and I guess we may have to like line up for like 2 hours to be able to get into this, where somebody's going to be playing Journey on stage, and the orchestra is going to be playing with him because there's so much dynamic music and stuff. It can't just be a straight concert. So it's going to be a lot of fun in MAGFest. If you can still get tickets. And you can still go for just one day if you are in the area. It's just south of Washington, D.C. So if you're in that area, come say hi. I'm going to be there. Rob's going to be there. SJ Winter and Matt's going to be there. So we're going to open up the phone lines. We actually already have a call coming in, so I'll go ahead and take this call before we give out the numbers and stuff. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. This is Raginator.
Raginator, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I do got some good news for you and everyone at VOG. On Tuesday, God forbid, I'm actually replacing my computer.
All right. What are you getting?
I should get the brand name and model. It's, I want to say the brand name begins with a C, but I'm going to be ordering it to, Newegg.com, someone had, VOG Network, recommended the site. I think it may have been Loki.
Yeah, Newegg's good.
But, in fact, I can't do it today because I have to go to the library to post the information in chat, mm-hmm. but, I do have the exact model in computer, cool. You know, bookmarked by way of my Facebook page. I can share the link on Tuesday when the library opens up again. But the general gist of the computer, it does have 8 gigs of RAM, a terabyte hard drive, Windows 10, and it does have additional slots for additional RAM and multiple hard drives and so on and so forth. I forget the type of video card it does have, but I'm kind of excited because, you know, just based on what I remember, it kind of, makes my old computer look like a total turd. Mm-hmm. But I'm kind of excited. Now, I do have one question for you because you're the genius when it comes to computers on Vogue. Now, the computer does have 8 gigs of, I think it's called DDR3 RAM. Do you think that for, general gaming purposes, 8 gigs of RAM would be enough, or should I get additional RAM?
My desktop only has 8 gigs in it.
All right. Well, I guess I'll stick to 8 gigs then. Like I mentioned before, it does have one terabyte hard drive in it. Yep. Should I get an additional hard drive just in case?
You can, but guess what? My desktop also only has a terabyte hard drive in it.
Oh, all right. I was just curious because this is the first desktop that I've had in my adult life, so I never...
Yeah, I mean, the safest thing to do is you start with that. That is a very good system to start with. If you feel in the future, when you have a little bit more money, you want 16 gigs, then you can add in another set of 8 gigs. If you feel in the future you need another hard drive, since it's a desktop, you can just put a second hard drive in there later. You don't have to do it now. This is going to be perfect to get you up and running now. And then over time, you save up your money, and you can get more RAM if you feel that there's any games that need it, or get another hard drive if you need it. But I think that's what you've got right now will absolutely get you. You'll be happy with this month, and maybe next month.
One final question before I do let you go, and so you can take another call. Now, my only other experience with swapping hard drives or putting new hard drives with a PS3 when I still had one. And at least in that case, when you swap them out, you have to put the a hard drive into some kind of, I guess it's called an enclosure. If you were to put a second hard drive into a PC, do you have to get like an extra enclosure, or do you just like slide the hard drive in?
Well, it depends on what's on the inside. It really depends on the case that you're getting, because this is a pre-built, I believe. So if you open up the case, they'll have little slots. Like the way my case works, at least, is you open up the side of the case so you can see inside, and there's little slots that you would actually slide the hard drive just blank, like the hard drive as you get it. You don't put it inside any other enclosure, and you screw it in there. And then you've got to have another power and another probably SATA cable that would then plug into a place on the motherboard. But no, you don't have to get an enclosure if the case has extra drive bays. You just slide the hard drive as you get it in there.
I was just curious because you did say specifically you could put multiple hard drives in. Just said with the how Newegg works. Right. They give you multiple images of the computer you're buying. Yeah. I looked at the one image, I saw multiple spots where you can put multiple hard drives in. So, but anyway, thanks for taking the time to take my call. It's definitely appreciated. Mm-hmm. And hopefully I'll have my internet up and running fairly soon. So I hope to be gaming with all of you pretty soon. So,
all right. Well, it'll be good to see you again.
All right. All right.
See ya.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. Wanted to go ahead and get that call because he's not able to listen to the show. So he actually like just tries to time it, and he's tried a couple times to call in, and he usually like misses the window, or I've already taken another call. So it's good to see that he's going to be coming back, because we've missed him in the community. So if you want to leave a bumper, I didn't get to this part. If you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to be the sniper in Team Fortress 2. You can just send me an MP3 of just your voice to bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Or you can leave a voicemail on the toll-free number. Or if you're going to MAGFest, we can just record a bumper there. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Blackwolf Show on VogueNetwork.com, use the passphrase geese. And Tiger Claw points out that I'm an old fuddy-duddy. Back when you had screws, you don't need screws anymore. A lot of modern cases don't have these screw things anymore. I'm an old fuddy-duddy. My cases still have actual screws in them because I'm weird. SJ100Matt does say about RAM price, wait for prices to drop next Cyber Monday. RAM prices drop down in price pretty quickly. They do. You definitely can shop around for RAM and find a good deal on stuff. And memory cards, as I've learned. Like, I go to Best Buy, and I'm like, oh, let me look at their SD cards. And it's like, oh, here's a great one for, like, $80. And I'm like, oh, I just bought one on Amazon that's exactly the same type and size for, like, $20. SJ100Matt says, I'd rather my hard drives be screwed in. My drives keep popping out of the bays in the Cooler Master case. And Dungeon Buster says, Best Buy's Cat 5 cable prices are hilarious. Yeah, see, I had bought a camcorder, and I'm like, I should probably buy another SD card for this. And then I looked at their SD cards. I'm like, I'm not buying an SD card from Amazon, from Best Buy. And I went home to Amazon and bought another one. And yeah. So nobody else is going to be calling in. So why don't we go ahead and move on to coming up next here at the Voice of Geeks Network at VogueNetwork.com is Orange Lounge Radio. Three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk for games for much, much longer than I do. We like to check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Here now, Bobby. Sorry.
There you are.
Sorry about that. Technical difficulties.
It happens. I'm calling early. That's why.
Yes, as we were right in the middle of a conversation about us. That's okay. I mean, you're free to interrupt anytime you want. But, yeah, sometimes. Oh, we actually play you through on the TV, on the PlayStation 3, on the TuneIn app. We can all hear you in studio. And then, you know, sometimes we'll have a side conversation. So it's like we're kind of listening with one ear. And then we'll suddenly hear in the ear. And coming up next on, oh, this is us.
Yep.
So luckily the delay is really short, so we can catch that.
And TuneIn is still working.
TuneIn is still working. In fact, you know, with all the Stitcher issues, as much as I, you know, I know it's difficult, but the reality is when there's a lot of choices out there, you have to be competitive as a company. And I think for me, personally, Stitcher's made one too many missteps, and this is kind of one of those things where it's like it's the final straw, and I really would recommend, at least for OLR, I know not all the Vogue shows are on it, but for OLR, I would recommend the TuneIn app, just because it is on iOS, it's on Android, it's on Xbox One, it's on PlayStation 3, and you can listen to OLR. And I think the big difference is with Stitcher was downloading shows onto their own server, and then including them at a low bit rate so that it could serve it in over the air, which in theory is great. Some podcasters had a real problem with it because it messed with their stats, but we don't profit on OLR and you don't profit on your show. So I think our mindset has always been, hey, the more the merrier, right?
Right.
So Stitcher does that, and I think maybe that's, you know, they have a technical hurdle a lot of other podcast companies don't have, which, you know, TuneIn, similar to the iTunes built-in podcasting app, they just reflect what's on the feed. And if a show can't be grabbed, it's your own server's fault. So that's part of the reason why I would recommend TuneIn, because it's going to go to the server directly.
And TuneIn's on the Vita as well. We need to not forget that.
The weird thing is, the one thing TuneIn isn't on is the PlayStation 4, and I don't know why that is.
Yeah. But it's on everything else.
Except the Wii U, yes.
I know you're saying TuneIn, but it sounds like you're saying tuna in.
Tuna in?
And I keep thinking of like an underwater hotel for fish.
You can use the blue one, Logie.
All right, just making sure.
Yeah. Sorry, we have multiple mics all over the studio tonight.
And I was like, I don't know. There's two here now. Well, you know the PlayStation 4 is unable to run those really highly intensive, graphically challenging, full of physics and processing PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games. So
yes.
I can understand that I couldn't run the TuneIn app
well. Yeah, online is hard.
It is. Well, it's going to get a lot easier with this whole Amazon thing.
Online is hard, Nintendo.
So, Loki, are you going to be jumping into Lumberyard, or are you going to stick with Unity?
Lumberyard?
Oh, you haven't heard of the Amazon thing? That's Amazon's new thing that they released this week.
They call it Lumberyard?
Yeah, yes, they do.
That is silly. I'll check it out. But that's really silly.
I downloaded it because I actually want to use it for the backgrounds when I make my visual novel. Mm. I still have a plan of making the visual novel comic book style.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean, make my comic as a visual novel, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. But I want to use Lumberyard for my backgrounds.
Hmm.
Yeah. So,
my boyfriend has apparently inspired Dark Soccer to do so much more.
Exciting.
It's with Namco High, and then I played Hot to Full Boyfriend again.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
I'm excited. So you guys have a good game trailers memory from 2002 or later?
Honestly, no. I mean, I remember. That sounds horrible, but I will say, you know, just to echo some of what you were saying. I mean, it's not that I dislike them by any means. I just, you know, they were another site, and I think you kind of you nailed it with a lot of what you were saying before. Is that they kind of didn't evolve when the rest of the internet was evolving. So there's so many choices, and you can't. Like, you know, most people just get their trailers on YouTube or, heck, directly on the game systems these days. So game trailers was kind of losing that relevancy. But I will kind of echo what you were saying. I do remember when that was the site you had to go to for the trailers, and they did kind of have that video on demand before other people did. And it's funny you said 2002 before podcasting. Well, not before us, though.
That's right.
Do as well. So not before internet radio.
You outlasted game trailers.
That's so weird to think about in that way. But I don't, you know, it's also weird because it was not a competition. But I do remember some of their early E3 coverage and some of their partnerships. Like, wasn't Jeff Keighley kind of a part of that?
Oh, yeah.
That was Spike at one point?
Because when Viacom owned them.
Ah, yeah.
But, I mean, Jeff Keighley, I think, was, you know, one of the kind of the cornerstones of the game trailers. Mm-hmm. Stuff. And, you know, that's where, like, Michael Pachter would always do his stuff, where we'd all roll our eyes. But that was his bonus round thing. So they did stuff like that, and they had the budget to be able to do it. And then everybody was like, I'd rather go watch PewDiePie.
And I remember our pal Scott Rubin from the All Games days was connected with them still. And I think he did some guest spots during one E3. I remember being at an E3, and we were talking to him, and he had to go do one of his things on game trailers. So I know, you know, we're connected to them a little bit.
Yeah, so it's sad to see them go, but, you know, they didn't. And I guess Defy Media is not really up about evolving these things. They're just trying to make things still run, and when one thing doesn't run anymore, they're going to kill it.
What an interesting follow-up to us talking about Stitcher in a weird kind of way. And I think it just goes to show, you got to. You know, people have an expectation that you're going to be there and you're going to be cutting edge, or they're going to find something else that is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's really unfortunate, and I don't want to, you know, people's jobs were impacted, but hopefully they'll find something somewhere else, and it'll be a great transition. Yeah.
So MAGFest, yes. SJ100 Matt wants to know, do you think Nintendo's going to troll people by releasing a new 3DS puzzle?
Oh, probably. They already put one out not that long ago, and I have only 4 more pieces to get in that puzzle. I think it's like Paper Mario or something. So probably, yeah. I mean, that's usually the luck. I don't know. Is Nintendo releasing anything in the coming month? I'm trying to think.
Mother 3?
Well, maybe, but I feel like that's going to be more of their little E3 surprise, kind of like Earthbound Zero was last year. There's Star Fox, certainly, but then we are going to talk about on OLR tonight that maybe that is also going to be pushed back a little bit. So we'll see.
Yeah, I have a lot of pink pieces left because I had so many coins. Like, they finally came out with new puzzles. So I'm like, I actually got all the blue ones one of the times. I mean, even though they repeat. But eventually, so I'm set. This is going to be my time to actually get all those pink pieces.
Oh, and I know the puzzle. Pokemon 20th Anniversary. That'll be the next puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And save those coins if you ever plan on playing Final Fantasy Explorers.
Too late. They're all gone.
Yep. start walking and save them now. When you go to MAGFest and take your DS, walk around and save them.
So are you excited? Are you getting it? You're getting in Thursday?
I'm getting in Thursday, so I'm a little bummed. I didn't realize how much MAGFest actually happened on Thursday. I was like, oh, I'm not used to that for a convention.
And then it ends at 3:30 on Sunday.
Yeah, I was like, oh, well, shoot. Yeah, so it was the timing was a little weird. I wasn't expecting that, but it's okay. I'm not missing. Yeah. I mean, I would love to see the Professor Shy guy, but I'm not missing anything where it's like I'm just going to be devastated. I'm just right now. It's just fingers crossed, toes crossed that I don't have flight delays because I got to get there from the West Coast. I got to take 2 very long flights to get out there. Which ironically, I go through Atlanta on the way back, but you won't be there. But
nope.
I'm there for like an hour anyway. I was like, well, at least I know that airport.
Yeah. So, yeah. So I drive up on Wednesday, and thankfully there's not going to be snow.
Yes. I've been watching the weather like a hawk, and there's no rain here, and there's no snow in D.C. And I think I was trying to look at Salt Lake City where my connection out there is, and I think everything looks okay there too. So I'm feeling pretty good.
So have they announced what – like is YYR going to be there for the Indies, or do we know he's not going to be there now?
Last I heard, he was not selected to have a display. But as far as I know, he's still going.
Oh, good.
SSU 100 Mac and okay, YYR is attending. So he's probably not showing anything in any official capacity, but the feeling I get from MAGFest is that laptops will be open in the hallway somewhere, so that doesn't mean he's not going to show us what he's working on.
Perfect. Yeah, and SJ 100 Mac says the arcade will be open until 4 a.m., and I think there's going to be a 2DX machine, so I'll be happy.
Yeah.
They're doing some actual table flipping contest, like not the table flipping arcade game. But there's actually something for charity. The more you donate, the more they put on the actual table.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
And then you flip it.
That's amazing.
And it's
I was reading that there was a Kirby, was it Samurai Warriors or something tournament? And if I'm not mistaken, that is the game that kind of is a rip on Wild Gunman. It was one of many games in like Kirby Superstar or something. And that's the one that's just a rip on Wild Gunman where all it is when it says go, you hit the button as fast as you can. Like that's literally the game. And I thought I saw that on the tournament schedule somewhere. And that kind of cracked me up because I'm like, okay, that's a game literally anybody can play.
Yeah. Yeah, and SJ Winterman says the Kirby Samurai tournament is big.
I bet. It's because
this sounds like it's a con that has a lot of in-jokes. You look through the thing and there's like something about Paul. And apparently that's a huge in-joke at MAGFest.
Interesting.
Something about Paul.
Book app, but it was nothing but pictures of cats. So...
Yeah, and there's like even a panel that has a question mark on it, and it's like in the description, it's like, you know, if there's no description, does this panel make a sound? And there's another one, you should go read the description about the wedding.
Uh-huh.
Just go read that description.
Okay.
In guidebook. And even if you're not going to MAGFest, you can actually get the guidebook app and download the program and see what I'm talking about. That one was hilarious.
Awesome.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about on the show tonight?
Well, we're going to be talking about the news that's going on in the industry, including we were talking about the Amazon, so we're going to give our own take a little bit on what's going on with Lumberyard, and we'll try to get Loki up to speed a little bit since it sounds like he didn't hear all of that. Microsoft announcing a pretty big feature this week where you're going to be able to cross-buy, meaning you buy a game on Xbox One, and you're going to get the game on PC as well, and it sounds like this might be a regular thing. So this is very interesting because, you know, on one hand, it's a great value. On another hand, some people are saying, well, then why did I buy an Xbox One? In fact, going so far as to cancel pre-orders for one upcoming game, but I think there's always going to be a couple crazies. One other one, Activision announcing that most of their money is coming from digital right now. We'll talk a little bit about that.
All right. So Orange Lounge Radio is up next. I'm going to hang up now, and then I'll tell you when you can take the stream and you can call me back. So we can announce three new shows.
That's right.
Thanks.
VOG announcement special coming up next.
That's right. Thanks so much. So I'm going to be gone. I will not be back next Sunday night. I'll be back in two Sunday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice Geeks Network at VOGNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with the show directly. Wednesday, the hashtag Road to MAGFest. You can follow my Road to MAGFest through those cities that I mentioned earlier. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper using the show on the toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com, Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf, or Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. That's where you're going to be able to follow me up the East Coast on Wednesday. Or you can put things in comment sections on the episode at VogNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who doesn't know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Tatsia, DC Nate, Hecht, Ronmas, Sky, VXJSNXV, Doomplague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, Actdeft, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Bob Coffee, Burr, See All, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fluke, Hitstun, Ikuma JP, Kaijudo, Kazan, Monster B, MXC, MXT, Poison, Shadow Next Gen, Slagkick, SJ100 Matt, Tiger Claw, True, and Zeba. That is it for me. Stay tuned for announcements. See you at MAGFest this weekend. It's 4 days away. There's a VCR Clue tournament. It's going to be amazing. Why did we not go to this before? Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom, although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.